Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in a Friday edition of the Hoosier Report. And of course, you know by now, you watched the game, I'm sure, Indiana falls short at Purdue last night in what was just such a big opportunity for the Indiana team. It was a road game. It was rival Purdue. Indiana's been playing good basketball, 2 wins in a row, 1 on the road, 1 at home, NCAA conference bid. I don't want to say on the – or NCAA tournament bid. I don't want to say on the line, but – a win last night obviously helps the cause, takes a lot of pressure off in the final couple games of the season. And I'm not so sure that regardless what everyone else says, and there's all sorts of predictions about what Indiana has to do to for sure get in the tournament. Some people say they're in now with the record that they have and the wins that they have now. I'm not so sure, in my opinion, that a road win, whether it's at Purdue last night, which didn't happen, or whether it was or it is at Illinois, which is a possibility coming up on Sunday, I'm not so sure to me that gets the team in. One more win, especially a win on the road, some people will say two. A road win in the Big Ten Conference, a little added weight to that. But despite all of the opportunities last night, and also despite the fact that Purdue has absolutely kicked Indiana's butt now a number of times in a row, Indiana hasn't won in Mackey since 2013. Indiana hasn't beaten Purdue since Archie Miller's been the coach. Purdue beat Indiana on Bob Knight's return day, which was a special day, obviously, for the program and for the players and for the fans and everybody that was packed in Assembly Hall that day. You would think that there were plenty of reasons last night, plenty of motivating factors last night for Indiana to go to Mackey Arena and be competitive throughout the game and maybe even win the game on the road. In fact, they started a nice start. They never really took control. They never really got out to any kind of lead to speak of, but they did hang tight on Purdue's home floor. And of course, Purdue are pumped up for the game as well. Yes, they beat Indiana. Yes, they've had Indiana's hand in recent years, but they're not playing well. Their last win was at Indiana. They had lost 4 straight games heading into last night's contest. But Archie Miller falls to 0-5. Indiana drops a game that could have really helped their resume for the NCAA tournament. Definitely not a do-or-die situation by any sake of the imagination. Indiana, I think, still has a great chance to get in the NCAA tournament. But a disappointing loss last night. And I'll say this, hats off to Matt Painter. Nice guy. I have known Matt since he was at Southern Illinois as an assistant coach. A great guy, someone when you see him out and about, never big time, always nice. And does a terrific job. And I thought last night the game plan that Purdue executed where they really slowed down Trace Jackson Davis and the interior players for Indiana by sending a player to double in the paint, and they did it very consistently, and it worked out for them a great majority of the time, was a huge kudos to Matt Painter and the Purdue coaching staff as they win the game. Indiana last night, their post players, their interior players, a combined 6 of 23 from the field last night, obviously slowing Trace Jackson Davis down in a great way. He's had some terrific, terrific games lately, but last night was not the case. Trace, Joey Brunk, Justin Smith combined 6 of 23 from the field last night, and obviously that worked out very well in Purdue's favor. So Indiana falls short. They, again, had a pretty good first half. a first half I think that you could live with on the road, given how this conference is, given it's at Purdue. I think Mackey's an unbelievably tough place to play, one of the toughest in the Big Ten Conference. I could have been okay with the first half, even though Indiana really let it get away from them. I think, was it 6 or 7 points there at the end to balloon it to a 9-point lead for Purdue at halftime. But still, a reasonable first half. Indiana was battling. Indiana was keeping it close. It was the start of the second half where the difference in the game, to me, was made. Purdue came out, continued the streak that they had been on to close the half. That's how they opened the second half. They got enough space between them and Indiana at that point that even though Indiana fought back, that's hats off to them. They did not give up. They did not get down further. They did fight back and make it a reasonably competitive game basically until the end. That is a positive, I think, for Indiana last night. But still, a disappointing loss. And I know a lot of Indiana fans, and I know one of them we're going to talk with in the next segment, Jared Morris of the Assembly Call, are getting really doggone tired of losing to Purdue. And so we'll talk with Jared some about that coming up. But let's jump into the show coming off this disappointing loss for Indiana, because the Hoosiers are right back at it on Sunday at Illinois. It's a tough game. Illinois at home, Illinois playing well, had a solid season this year. And so Indiana, if they're going to get a road win before this season comes to a close in the conference, they're going to have to get it at Illinois on Sunday. And, of course, after that, two home games for Indiana, Minnesota followed by Wisconsin. And I'm going to talk about Wisconsin here in a minute. They had a huge win last night. Welcome to the show. We do this each weekday, 11 a.m., complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective. Let's take a look at today's show lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we always have our Zaxby's headlines where we take a look at the top news for this Friday. More on IU-Purdue. We'll look at the Big Ten action last night, including a big victory for Wisconsin on the road. And we'll take a look at the high school basketball schedule. This is basically, I think there are maybe a couple games on Saturday. I'm not sure that anybody local plays on Saturday on the boys' side, obviously. But this is basically tonight, the last night of the regular season in high school basketball. So we'll talk about that and more in our Zaxby's headlines coming up here in just a few moments. Later in the program, Jared Morris of the Assembly Call. We always have him Friday. And we're going to have an extended chat on IU-Purdue. We're going to recap what went right and, of course, a lot that went wrong for Indiana. We're going to break down the schedule the rest of the way. Only three games left for this Indiana team, one road game, two at home. We'll break down each of those and how important they are for this Indiana team. We'll talk about also the commitment of Christian Lander. That's been some good news. There have been some lots of positive news here lately for Indiana. Two wins, Christian Lander's commitment. I thought last night Indiana would either win or lose in an absolute barn burner, last second shot type situation at Mackey Arena, because it's been such a good week and a half or so for Indiana fans. You want to see that continue, especially this time of year as we get ready to enter the month of March here very soon. Later in the program, Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star. He's been all over the recruitment of Christian Lander. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the girls' state championships on Saturday and the start of boys' sectionals on Tuesday at most locations across the state of Indiana. That's the show lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget you can stop by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison to receive $1 off a delicious box lunch made to order for you. Let's jump into our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. And, of course, last night the loss to Purdue means that Indiana potentially has some work cut out for them over these last three games. Different people will tell you different things. Different bracketologists will tell you different things about what Indiana needs to do to get in. There's one case that Indiana's okay right now, that they can hang on with the record they have because of how good the Big Ten Conference is and because of some of the wins that Indiana has on its resume. There are other people that will tell you Indiana needs to win two games, but only one if it's a road game. I like the idea that Indiana wins a road game they're in because of, again, how tough the Big Ten Conference has been this year. Purdue, I think, would have been the easier of the two to get between Purdue and Illinois, but at this point, the Purdue game obviously didn't go in Indiana's favor. So now, Illinois, the final road game of the season. Last night, looking at positives, if you want to look at positives in the game, Race Thompson, probably the brightest spot for Indiana last night in the game. He had 6 points, 2 of 4 shooting, 2 of 2 from the free throw line. He pulled down 8 rebounds, and he had a couple blocks as well, a couple steals as well. No turnovers for Race Thompson. And again, that's not a stat line that reaches out and grabs you. It's not anything tremendous. But for Race Thompson, he was Indiana, I think, maybe most solid player last night across the way. And it's good to see him continuing to step up to another level as he really has seemed to found a role on this team. So he is a bright spot individually. And, of course, I mentioned that normally Trace Jackson-Davis, we brag on him, win or lose. Last night, not the case. He was limited in his touches. He was limited in his makes. He had 6 points last night, just 2 of 7 from the field. I mentioned him, Brunk, and let's see, who was the other interior player combined for 6 of 23 shooting last night in that loss to Purdue. So, and some long scoring droughts for Indiana again as well in that game. That's been something that we've seen somewhat consistently for this team throughout the year. Also, high school basketball tonight, as our headlines continue, Castle, they are 10-10 this season. They play tonight at Jeffersonville, who is 17-5. The Red Devils will wrap up the 2019-2020 regular season campaign. Clarksville at Rock Creek, the Generals have been playing good basketball. They'll look to get their 15th win of the season tonight against Rock Creek. New Albany, a tough one. The Bulldogs, 14-8. They play at Bloomington North tonight. Bloomington North, 18-5. A recent loss, one of those 5 losses to Floyd Central last weekend. But a very tough game for New Albany as they get ready for Seymour sectional play on the road tonight. Providence at New Washington and Seymour at Silver Creek as the Dragons looking to finish the season 22-2. If they can record a win tonight. Big Ten action last night. Some interesting games across the slate. Wisconsin goes to Ann Arbor and defeats Michigan, putting 81 points on the board. And Wisconsin a winner, 81-74 over Michigan. Of course, Purdue defeats Indiana last night. Illinois, who Indiana has next, a 74-66 winner over Northwestern. That game was at Northwestern last night. And Ohio State had no problems with Nebraska, 75-54, the final score in that contest. That's a look at our Zaxby's headlines. Zaxby's is the home of famous hand-breaded, hand-seasoned chicken fingers, fresh salads, and saucy wings, all made to order. Zaxby's headlines, a look at the top IU and Southern Indiana sports news in the area each day here on the show. We'll head to a break. We'll come back with Jared Morris of the Assembly Call. Lots of IU-Purdue breakdown and more coming your way next on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Friday program. We've been talking lots about Indiana and Purdue, the loss last night for the Hoosiers on the road, obviously. And we're going to talk more about it in this segment with Jared Morris of the Assembly Call, who hosts Assembly Call Radio and the IU postgame show, which we had last night after the IU network coverage wrapped up, and we have after every IU game here on the Big X Sports Radio. And Jared, you know, lots to talk about from last night. Obviously, Indiana coming off a great 2-game stretch. Last night, I could live with the first half on the road at Mackey at arrival. It wasn't a great close to the half. I think Purdue scored the final 6 or 7 points of the first half to take a 9-point lead into the locker room. But it was the second half, specifically the way that Indiana started the second half, that really just buried them. And it did not look like the Hoosiers as of late, at least in the 2 previous games last night at Purdue.
No, you know, and I mean, you know, you talk about the start of the second half, and that was obviously really bad, but it really went back to the end of the first half, and it was very similar to what happened, you know, in the game in Bloomington, where it was a close game. And, I mean, last night, you know, Indiana just lost their minds for a couple of minutes at the end of the first half and at the beginning of the second half. You know, I mean, just, you know, some of the turnovers that Indiana had at the end of the first half, the live ball turnovers that led to easy buckets, you know, that it should have been a game where, you know, Indiana went down at halftime. Hey, you know, maybe you're down three, maybe you're down four, but you've kind of weathered the storm, you know, and you try and regroup and come back out. And, you know, what Purdue did over the final couple minutes of the first half is essentially why they're dominating this series right now, which is they just out-toughed and out-executed Indiana at a really key spot in the game. You know, and it seems like in these games with Purdue, that's what happens. You know, that, you know, a lot of times Indiana, you know, will bring the effort and will do some good things like they did last night. But these key stretches of the games, you know, Purdue just kind of manhandles them. And that's what happened. At the end of the first half, it happened to a certain extent at the beginning of the second half. You know, that was really more just, you know, a total offensive failure. You know, I mean, Indiana got some good looks. They couldn't make them. You know, Indiana didn't deal well with the doubling that Purdue was sending. I mean, they were committed to making Indiana's bigs pass out of the double team, and it didn't work, you know, because we had nobody on the perimeter who could really make plays. So, you know, it was, you know, certainly a game that you can look at and, you know, you can pick a few positives out of it if you want to, simply given the context of how Indiana's played on the road. So it's one of those things where we've set the bar so low on the road, you know, that you can make a case for a few positives. But, you know, ultimately it's a seventh straight loss to Purdue, which is just unconscionable and shouldn't be possible. And, you know, I think until Indiana can, you know, just get to a point where they have the, you know, the mental toughness and the ability to execute in those key situations, you know, Purdue has a program that is at that point. Indiana's isn't right now. And that was what we were all starkly reminded of during that key game deciding stretch there in the middle.
Jared, let's talk a little bit more about what Purdue was doing on defense, especially in the paint last night. I read this morning that Indiana's front court, which Trace Jackson Davis, Joey Brunk, Justin Smith, those three players were a combined 6 of 23 from the field, and often it seems like win or lose, we brag on Trace Jackson Davis. We talk about how consistent he is. He normally either gets or is very close to getting a double-double, and that wasn't the case even with him last night, and I think most of it, if not all of it, had to do with the double-teaming that Purdue was committed to that you just mentioned.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, Trace has obviously been really good in most games this year and has played really well the last couple of games. But, you know, he's been prone to some inconsistencies, you know, and prone to getting taken out of games. And if you listen to Matt Painter's post-game press conference last night, I mean, he said, you know, I don't know why everybody doesn't double Trace. You know, I mean, that was obviously their number one goal. I mean, they've watched the film of the last couple games, which is basically that, you know, this Indiana offense goes when Trace gets shot. You know, it's like the Penn State game. He doesn't even need to make a high percentage of them. Indiana just needs to be able to play through him. And that's part of the reason why Indiana got off to a good start last night. I mean, they were up 6-2 at the first media timeout, you know, feeling good. They were getting the ball inside. Trace was able to make plays. But, you know, they really upped the attention and they really upped the physicality on him. And, you know, we've said it over and over again, but it remains true. You know, he is a freshman playing in a league that may be as well-stocked with physical, skilled big men as I've ever seen. I mean, every single team has one or two big men that are really, really good. You know, and so what Trace has already done this season has been magnificent. He's been great. But, you know, if you're relying on him to be your best player and your focal point, your offense is going to be inconsistent, you know, especially if you don't have guys who surround him who can make shots. And that, you know, that was really the difference between Indiana and Purdue last night. You know, Indiana really focused on defending the three-point line, as they typically do against Purdue. And Indiana has actually, you know, defended Purdue's three-point shooting pretty well in the Archie Miller era, and they did it last night. I think Purdue was 2-for-17 or something like that. You know, but the difference is, you know, Purdue was able to get the ball inside to Travion Williams, and because Indiana had to respect their three-point shooting, you know, Indiana couldn't just pack it in, and there was a lot of single coverage on Travion Williams. And you know, Race Thompson defended him as well as anybody, but Travion Williams is a really, really good player. And so he was able to get some points, you know, because you had a guy like Eric Hunter who was able to step up and score 17 or whatever he did. And, you know, you can't leave Sasha Stevanovic. Even if he's missing shots, he's a threat. And the difference is Purdue just really didn't have to respect Indiana's outside guys. And they could throw those doubles at Indiana and they could pack it in. And, you know, outside of, you know, that one stretch where Rob really made some plays and Devontae knocked down some shots, Indiana just had no perimeter guys that were really providing a consistent threat. You know, Al Durham wasn't. Jerome Hunter wasn't. You know, obviously Justin Smith is more of an inside player than an outside player. And so not having that inside-out balance really made it difficult. And that was clearly what Purdue went into the game. That was going to be their strategy, and they executed it really well. And if you're going to win a game like that, you know, you have to get at least some small modicum of production, you know, from your perimeter guys. And in too many of these road losses, we've seen that not happen, you know. And so, you know, Trace needed to be better. You know, he needed to find ways to exert his will on the game a little bit more. And as he gets older, I think he'll be able to do that. But, boy, it makes it really tough when you get all that attention and you just don't have anybody on the perimeter who can, you know, kind of be a release valve, you know, to a certain extent and take some of that attention away defensively. And that's, you know, probably not something that's going to go away this season. That's something that has to be addressed with recruiting. You know, it's just something that you have to fight through. And when you have a guy like Devontae who's making shots, it changes things. But, you know, last night wasn't one of those nights, and you didn't get anything from Al. So, you know, you saw what happened, which was, you know, a historically bad offense. I mean, it's not like it's usually that bad, but it was certainly bad enough to negate what was overall actually a pretty strong defensive effort from Indiana.
Talking with Jared Morris of the Assembly Call IU-Purdue recap here on our Friday show. A couple bright spots from last night. I thought Race Thompson solid again for Indiana. That's been nice to see his coming on here in recent games and being somewhat of a consistent player for Indiana. And then also last night, despite how the first half ended and despite how the second half began, Indiana did make a nice fight back in the second half. I forget exactly what they cut it to in single digits in the latter parts of the second half last night against Purdue. But those were two bright spots. I know that there have been lots of good moments here recently with Indiana basketball on and off the court. I guess I'm stretching here to find a couple good things that maybe you can hold on to as Indiana gets ready for another road game.
You're definitely correct on Race. I mean, he was a bright spot. He continues to be a bright spot for this team. You know, the issue, of course, is, you know, Race at this stage of his development, you know, is a guy who's going to play 20 to 25 minutes, and he's a terrific role player. You know, he's a guy who's really going to defend. He's going to get rebounds. He's starting to show a more expanded offensive game, you know, but he's still going to get the majority of his points, you know, on hustle plays, offensive rebounds, you know, that kind of thing. And so when he's your best player, you're really going to struggle because, you know, you don't want a role player to be your best player. You know, you think back to 2016, you know, and the guy that he reminds me of, which is the impact that OG Anunoby had on that season, you know, OG wasn't the best player. He was a really good role player, you know, but the guys who stirred the drink were guys like Thomas Bryant and Yogi Ferrell and those kind of guys. And so, you know, that's where Race needs to be able to fit in and be a piece of the puzzle, you know, not the best guy. And in games when he is, you know, the clear best player, I don't think Indiana's going to win many of those games. And that's what happened last night. So that's not a knock on him. He did his part. Other guys just have to step up, especially on the road, and that's what didn't happen. And, you know, I think you are right that Indiana, you know, last night was not a problem of effort. Indiana played hard. They didn't necessarily always play tough. They didn't execute well. You know, I think Purdue had a better game plan and we didn't adjust. You know, we lost for other reasons besides just what we've seen in some other road games where it's like just a total systems failure and the guys seem like they check out. They stuck with it, you know, and that is a sign of progress. You know, and that's one of those things, you know, some fans don't want to hear, and I really don't want to say, because, you know, frankly, I'm just, you know, ticked off that we keep losing to Purdue, so that really doesn't make me feel any better. But it's one of those things where if you're with this team, if you're trying to accurately analyze this team, you know, two kind of competing things can be true. On the one hand, in the macro sense, you know, there's no reason in Archie's third year that we should be feeling any type of positive signs about losing by 8 to Purdue and losing for the 7th straight time. Like, that just should not happen. And the fact that we're in that position, that we've had so many bad road losses this year to where the bar has been set so low, in a macro sense, that's not good. You know, but with this particular team, if we're just looking at, okay, you know, how do we get better for the next game and just try to make the most out of this season, there is a little bit of progress there that maybe we can carry to Champaign and play a little bit better and maybe win that game, or maybe you take to the Big Ten tournament, you know, and if Indiana can keep playing a little better on the road, then there is some progress there for this particular team. So, you know, I know that it's kind of a little bit of a conflicting view to where, on the one hand, things aren't where you want them to be, you know, in the big picture, but on the other hand, you know, small picture from game to game, you do see a little bit of improvement. You know, that's just kind of where we are right now. And I don't think it's exactly where folks want to be, but, you know, even with last night's loss, this team is still in a pretty good position to make the NCAA tournament. So, you know, I think everybody's cranky after losing to Purdue. I get it. I feel that way. But as we get further removed from this, if Indiana can take the progress from last night, you know, into some of these other games away from home, then, you know, obviously the, you know, the goals for this team of making the tournament and doing some damage in late February and March, you know, those things are still on the table.
Jared, if you talk to or read about Indiana in some of the bracket predictions for the NCAA tournament, and even the people that I've asked each week or each day this week on this show, what does Indiana have to do to punch their ticket for sure, in your opinion? I've had varying answers, a couple multiple answers, but, you know, pretty much everyone has their opinion on it. And I've had the opinion that if Indiana could win just one more game out of the last four going into last night's game, especially one of the road games, whether it was at Purdue last night, which obviously didn't happen, or whether it's coming up at Illinois in Indiana's next game, that that would definitely get them in the tournament for sure. How does last night's loss affect things for Indiana? And again, kind of the age-old question I've had the last couple of weeks, what does Indiana have to do? Three games left now, one on the road, two at home. What does Indiana have to do, in your estimation, to get in?
Well, you know, it's always going to depend on what other teams around you do when, you know, when you're, you know, in the bubble discussion. So that's important to say. I think if Indiana can win two of these final three games, they're in. Like, I would say there's probably a 95% chance they get in. I mean, if they get to 20 wins and they win 10 games in this conference, especially since any of the two of these final three games, whether it's, you know, the Illinois game and one home game or both home games, you know, those are going to be good quality wins. That, to me, gets you in with almost virtual certainty. I think if they can win one of them and get to 19 wins, they would probably get in. You know, 70% chance, something like that. You know, I don't know. But I think you allow for a little bit more wiggle room if some other teams around the bubble, you know, start winning some games, especially if you don't do anything in the Big Ten tournament. So that's how I would look at it, is you win two of them, you're basically guaranteed to get in. You win one of them, you're probably going to get in. Now, if you lose out, you know, obviously then you're probably going to have to do some work in the Big Ten tournament or really sweat it out, you know, to maybe just get a first four spot on Selection Sunday, and that's not a position anybody wants to be in. So that's, you know, that's kind of how I would look at it. And, you know, hopefully they can get a couple of them and remove some of the anxiety that we would all be feeling.
Absolutely. Let's go through the schedule. And again, I know everybody, you know, Indiana fans are serious. They take each game and study it and watch it. A great majority of them do. But we also are at the point of the year where you've got to think ahead for the NCAA tournament. And so I'm curious your thoughts. At Illinois, it's a tough game. It's coming up next for this Indiana team on Sunday, so not a lot of turnaround from Purdue to the Illinois game in Champaign. Illinois has been really good at times. Other times they've had their slip-ups as well in the always crazy Big Ten Conference. How difficult is this of a game is this for Indiana on Sunday, especially on the road?
It's going to be a really difficult game. You know, now, you know, one thing that maybe works in Indiana's favor is a lot of these players have the recent memory of success in Champaign, because they played one of their best games of the year last year. I mean, Rob Phinisee was great that game. Indiana dominated that game against an Illinois team that wasn't nearly as good last year as they are this year. But for a team that really seems to struggle with confidence on the road, you know, maybe that's something that you can build on. Now, you know, again, teams are different. All that stuff is different. But you would have to think that they'll at least feel a little bit better about it. But it's going to be a really difficult game. You know, Illinois has really good guards. You know, Io DeSumo obviously is a very good player. I don't know who guards him, but somebody's going to have to keep him in check, and someone's going to have to answer him. I mean, you know, Trace, you know, may be able to go out and have a good game against Illinois, but it's going to come down to, can Indiana's guards, you know, match Illinois' guards, you know, or at least produce 85-90% of what they do? Because if so, Indiana's going to have a chance to win. And if not, again, it's going to be another road game that's going to feel kind of impossible. So Illinois is good. You know, they've obviously beaten a lot of good teams. They're probably going to come in with some momentum because I think they're going to face, you know, Northwestern and Nebraska the last couple games. And it's on the road. So, I mean, you know, hopefully they can take some good feelings from last year's game and build on what they've done the last couple of road games. But they're going to have to come out. The guards are going to have to make plays and make shots. And if they do, Indiana's going to have a chance. And if they don't, then it's probably going to feel a lot like the Purdue game.
And then, of course, after Illinois, Indiana returns home for a pair of games. One of those is Minnesota, who played, my mind went blank here, somebody very tight at the top of the conference earlier this week. And then
Maryland.
Yeah, that's right. That's a one-point game, a loss for Minnesota in that game. And then Wisconsin comes to Bloomington. And last night, Wisconsin won against Michigan at Michigan and put 81 points on the board, which isn't always standard for Wisconsin teams. I'm curious what you think and see in those home matchups, maybe which one is easier. I think you may say Minnesota, but it could be very important, and I've said this before, Indiana might look back on the final week of the season and be very thankful that those games were at home if they're able to get in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody's looked at these last two games as like, okay, you know, even if we struggle and lose these couple road games, we've got two at home, so we'll be good. And that should be helpful, you know, because Indiana has played better at home, and I absolutely expect Indiana to win both of those games because they should be able to protect home court. But that doesn't mean that they are foregone conclusions. You know, I know Minnesota has struggled some, but, you know, they've got a really good point guard and they've got a good big man. And, you know, obviously they just played Indiana recently. So, you know, I would think that that's the more likely of the two to win. But again, not a given. And Wisconsin is going to be really difficult. I mean, they have really played well since Kobe King left. So I don't know if that was having, you know, some kind of a, you know, an issue with their chemistry or whatever. But they really seem to have coalesced as a team. And they've got experience. And they've got guys who can make shots. And they've got balance. And, you know, they're just Wisconsin, which has just always been a tough matchup for us. And, you know, obviously Indiana beat them in overtime last year, which was a great game. But, you know, I take nothing for granted against Wisconsin. So, yeah, it's the Big Ten. I mean, and, you know, you want to say unless you're playing Northwestern and Nebraska, you know, the games are going to be tough. But even at home, Indiana had trouble with Northwestern and Nebraska. You know what I mean? So you don't want to take anything for granted. You know, I do think, you know, the way this team played against Iowa, the way that they played against Penn State, and the way they played in some other home games, you certainly feel better about their chances. But those are good teams that if Indiana, you know, gives less than a B-plus performance at home, and maybe even an A-minus performance, you know, they can lose those games. So, you know, the Hoosiers have to, you know, bounce back from this Purdue loss, you know, try to, you know, get whatever they can get done in Champaign. I mean, if you can steal a road win there, that'd be huge. But, you know, these two road games are going to be big coming home. And so hopefully, you know, this Indiana group has, you know, some more good performances in them because they're going to need them to get enough work done here at the end of the season to feel good on Selection Sunday, not just be sweating bullets.
Jared, taking a look at the Big Ten Conference as a whole before we let you go today, it looks pretty solid. I was watching some stuff last night talking about the tournament, different conferences, who could get how many teams in. And a couple of the guys on the screen, pretty confident that the Big Ten Conference can place at least 10 teams in this year, which is a huge statement. I know at one time there was a little hope or talk of 11 teams, but it does look pretty solid that the Big Ten's going to get 10 in and be one of the leaders this year, obviously, in conferences sending teams to the tournament.
Yeah, it does. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see down the stretch what Purdue and Minnesota do. Obviously, right now on, you know, most of the bracketology places that you look, you know, they're ones that are out, I think, in most places. And Rutgers is going to be interesting. You know, their place has kind of been taken for granted because they were, you know, such an early season darling. But they've really faded, you know, and part of the reason they faded is because their schedule is backloaded with road games and they haven't been able to win on the road. So, I mean, they are by no means a lock to make the tournament right now. They've still got some work to do. So, you know, that group of Rutgers, Indiana, Purdue, and Minnesota, with Rutgers and Indiana right now having the leg up and seeming more likely, you know, that'll kind of determine how many spots the conference is able to get. And so it's going to be interesting to see down the stretch, you know, can Purdue, you know, win a few of these games here at the end of the season and do some damage in the Big Ten tournament? Same thing with Minnesota. If so, they can put themselves back in that discussion. You know, and if not, obviously they're just going to have too many losses to be able to do it. And then if Rutgers can win away from home, and if Indiana can take care of business at home, so it's going to be really interesting to watch and see. And then on Selection Sunday to see what kind of seeds the conference gets, because it feels like everybody's taken on so much water just in conference play. You know, losing so many games, you know, that's probably going to cap the seeds that the Big Ten gets, and then that'll make some of those first round matchups interesting. So the conference has obviously been very, very deep, very, very competitive. But, you know, every team has just lost so many games that you're not going to see a lot of really good seeds. And so it's going to be interesting once tournament play comes. You know, once the Big Ten gets against other teams, is it almost like everybody can exhale and we really see the Big Ten thrive? You know, or do we look at it more as, okay, well, you know, this was a lot of good teams, but no, you know, really good or great teams because a lot of them lost early in the tournament. You know, it'll be one of those narratives that everybody talks about. It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out.
Yeah, no question. Jared, final thing. I know I've said final thing on the conference, but I do want to give you the chance, your input, your thoughts on Christian Lander's commitment to Indiana earlier this week. How big of a deal is that Archie Miller continues to lock down Indiana's borders? How big of a deal is Christian's commitment to Indiana? And do you think that it's likely he does reclassify? I know there's been some talk about that, and he's mentioned himself that it's a possibility.
I mean, I think it's massive. You know, it's massive in terms of keeping that momentum of getting, you know, some of the best players from the state. And he is obviously a really highly rated player from the state of Indiana. So I think continuing that momentum is really big. And all you had to do is watch last night's game to see how important it is to get an elite talent at the guard position. You know, I mean, that's what Indiana needs. And so, you know, given the timing of the commitment and, you know, kind of what it sounds like, it sounds like reclassifying is more likely than not, although I don't think it's a foregone conclusion by any means. And obviously I think it's going to be really important to manage expectations for a guy if he ends up skipping a senior year of high school, you know, and coming to college, like physically, it's going to be really hard for him to be ready for the rigors of the Big Ten. Now he's lightning quick. He's got great hops. He's a good shooter. He's a good passer. Like, he has enough skills and talent that he'll be able to make an impact from day one. But, you know, I just think it'll be important, you know, as starved as Indiana fans are for a difference-making guard, you know, after watching, you know, the team this season, it's still going to be important to be fair with your expectations of him. But, you know, given time and given, you know, some, you know, development physically and mentally and emotionally and all of those things, I mean, I think he's got a chance to just be an outstanding player that fills so many of the gaps that we've talked about with Archie Miller offenses, you know, these first couple of years. So it was a massive commitment. Obviously expectations are high for him and rightfully so, but I really think it'll be important to manage expectations and allow him to grow into his role rather than, you know, expecting him to be a superstar from day one.
Absolutely. Jared Morris of the Assembly Call. Don't forget, you can find out more how to listen at assemblycall.com and at most places where you may listen to podcasts as well. Jared, it's going to be an interesting few weeks ahead. I think we all agree on that. Let's see how things play out. We'll talk with you next Friday.
Absolutely.
Sounds good, Matt. Thank you.
All right, Jared Morris of the Assembly Call here on this Friday program. Still ahead, Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star joins us. We talk some high school basketball and a lot more Christian Lander as well. Kyle, very well-versed in Christian's game and has covered his recruitment and, of course, his commitment earlier this week to Indiana very closely. So we'll chat about that with Kyle and a lot more coming up. Don't forget the high school basketball state tournament just around the corner. Lots of coverage from that forthcoming here on the Big X. We're working on a preview show for next week, a sectional preview show that will take the place of our normal tip-off show, and a lot of great postseason basketball, not just at the Big Ten, the college level, but also with high school and other things as well. And don't forget, girls' state championships are this weekend as well in Indiana, and locally, our most local team still alive, fighting for the opportunity to capture a state crown this year is the Salem girls team out of Washington County, about 35 minutes or so away from where we're located. So best of luck to Salem this weekend. They've had a great postseason run, came from behind to beat Silver Creek in the sectional championship game, very tough regional game as well, able to get through that. And, of course, last week at Jeffersonville, they defeated Brownstown in a one-game semi-state. Now they've got a big challenge coming up in the state championship game at the 3A level. We'll head to a break. Kyle Neddenrip is next. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Final segment on this Friday program. Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star with us. And Kyle, our time today a little limited, so I want to jump right into the main topic, which is Christian Lander to Indiana. Kind of surprising when it happened. I think on a random Tuesday night, you don't expect one of the top players in his class in the country to announce their college decision, really with no prior warning or anything build up to his decision. But he becomes a Hoosier. He commits Tuesday to join Indiana. And the unknown part of his decision right now is, will he stay in the 2021 class, return for a senior season next year at Evansville Wrights, or could he maybe reclassify and be on the IU roster next season as a freshman guard?
Yeah, this is something that had kind of been talked about for a while, the possibility at least of that reclassification being out there. So, you know, that part of the story, I guess, is not entirely surprising. Although, you know, like you mentioned, a lot of things still to be worked out if that's possible or not. You know, the timing of the commitment, though, I think was a surprise. I think IU had kind of been trending the right way with him for a while. But, the timing of it going right into, you know, the sectional play next week, is it's not normally a time where you see commitments happen. And we've actually seen two this week with Lander to IU and Pierce Thomas last night from Brownsburg committing to Butler. So, you know, two big commitments in the state at a bit of an unusual time. But I also got to, you know, thinking a little bit, you know, this 2021 class is so deep in the state that, you know, you might have to take a, you know, take your shot now if you have somewhere you want to go, you know, you want to go there. Otherwise, you know, those spots may be filled. Not that it would necessarily for those two. They're so talented anyway, but, you know, that could be part of it. And, you know, so, yeah, it was surprising. I thought just the timing of it, I'd heard earlier in the week that, you know, about the reclassification part of it being a possibility and the IU part of it being a possibility, but did not expect to happen quite that quickly, I guess. So that part definitely was a bit of a surprise. But I think the overall, the fact that he's going to IU and the reclassification otherwise, I think is not entirely shocking.
Kyle Neddenrip, Indianapolis Star, with Christian Lander off the board. This week we've talked lots about Trey Kaufman right here at Silver Creek as the Dragons get ready to begin state tournament play, of course, defending champions in 3A. But there are a number of prospects in the 2021 class in Indiana that you and I have talked about over the last year or so that IU has shown interest in, IU has offered scholarships to, and many other high major Division I schools have showed interest as well. It's a really good class. Highlight not just Christian and Trey, but some of those other players and maybe what their recruiting standing is right now.
Yeah, Caleb First is another one who I really like. A lot of people like you from Fort Wayne Blackhawk Christian. Was just actually writing some feature, sectional feature stuff and was going over his numbers this year. Really good again. And, of course, he's been a guy, IU, Purdue, you know, a lot of schools, Michigan State. You can go on down the list. I think he's a guy right there with Kaufman when you talk about the top guys as far as big guys in the state. Those two names come up a lot. Left-handed guy, about 6'9", won a state title last year. Mentioned Pierce Thomas. J.R. Kaczynski from South Bend St. Joe is already off the board to Notre Dame as well. That's another guy who, you know, people down around, you know, Indianapolis and down your way probably haven't seen a lot of. So I'm looking forward to seeing him a little bit more this summer. And if South Bend St. Joseph can make a run, possibly still this season. Luke Goody from Homestead's another one, plays quarterback up there and also a really good basketball player. He has lots of offers, already made some official visits. Blake Wesley from South Bend Riley, really good explosive guard up north. Jaden Taylor from Perry Meridian, who's already committed to Butler, is another one. So Butler, two local guys in that class already, and Butler hasn't really had a ton of success recruiting Indianapolis or even gone after a ton of guys, really. So to get two in the same class is shows that they're making that a priority locally. And, you know, there's a lot. Jaden Brewer from Avon, Jalen Blackman from Marion, of course, Luke Brown from Blackford is a guy I know people, IU fans, talk a lot about. He has more mid-major offers right now. Brooks Barnheiser from Lafayette Jeff. Starting to pick up offers, more big time offers than he has in the past. Butler and Xavier among them. DJ Hughes from Lawrence North, another one. A lot of mid major offers. Keon Thompson from Merrillville has had a huge season up north. Blake Sisley from Heritage Hills, I know you know him. Jake Heidbreder from Floyd Central is another one. So there's that class is just. Really unusually loaded, and I can't wait to see that class more this spring and summer on the travel circuit. But it's a great class, and there's more and more names that become like, man, he's in that class too. And just very deep, very good at the top, and also just very, very deep.
Kyle Nedrip, the Indianapolis Star, he's always with us Fridays. And, Kyle, we're getting ready for, as we transition away from the Lander commitment, we're getting ready for a great time of year here in our state. The boys basketball tournament pairings came out over the weekend, last weekend on Sunday. We've got some great sectionals and pairings and potential matchups locally. But one caught my eye as I was taking notes, and we had a show down here with all the coaches, and the draw is just a hectic time. In your case, you're trying to get notes and cover, get a hold of coaches and write previews and things like that. We're getting ready to do a preview show of a number of hours, and I tell you what, as I saw listening in the background in the 4A draw, as I saw that Lawrence Central, Lawrence North game come together right out of the gate, you just kind of shake your head at the amount of talent and a really good team that's going to be gone from this tournament very early that's really been ranked all season long in the top five or so.
Yeah, unbelievable that it actually kind of had called that the day before. I was like, you just watch, that's going to end up happening. They play first round. So that'll be the rubber match, or not the rubber match, but the third game between the teams. Lawrence North has won the first two. Lawrence Central has been, the second game was really, really close in the Marion County tournament final. So should be just, it's going to be sold out. It's going to be awesome. It's a shame one of those teams will be out in the first game, but with the blind draw, that's kind of the way it is. And you also have Attucks and Cathedral playing the first game that night, a rematch of the city tournament championship game. So it'll be completely nuts, a madhouse at Lawrence Central that night. And that's kind of the fun of sectional night.
Kyle Nedrip, the Indianapolis Star. Kyle, we got to run. Next week, we'll talk with you more about the state tournament. Thanks for the chat today.
You bet. Thanks, Matt.
That wraps things up. Friday edition of the show. Back with you Monday. It's the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.